Somebody suggested to me recently that I should do a series of sermons on the stained glass windows of this church. Sometimes we don't even see them. That's right, you don't see them because when this church was originally built back in the 50s, there weren't stained glass windows except for the one up here. These were louvered windows that they opened up to let the air in because they didn't have air conditioning either. But in the 80s, the church was remodeled, and some beautiful, beautiful stained glass windows were added to the decor of this church. And this morning, I'm going to start a series called Paradise Valley's Windows of Grace. And we'll be looking at the various windows. Some of them, I imagine there's at least one window that somebody here has never even seen. But we'll try to get pictures of them and put them in our bulletin as the weeks go by. You'll quickly discover that the windows here on this side and this side in the sanctuary deal with what we know as the fruit of the Spirit. This really is a reference to the evidence in the Christian's life that God's Spirit is dwelling in them. And I can't think of any windows that are more appropriate for a church than windows on the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we're not having the fruit of the Spirit in our life, something's wrong. Something's desperately wrong. The passage of Scripture we're going to be looking at in more detail for the beginning of this series is John chapter 15, particularly verse 16. Where Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Now, of course, this passage of Scripture is dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is described for us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the fruit that really best describes what a Christian is. A Christian must be exhibiting this fruit in their life. Fruitfulness is exhibiting positive, active attitudes on a daily basis in our lives. And when that happens, we begin to sense real joy and see positive things happening in our life. What would it look like if all of God's children were loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled all the time? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Would it have a positive impact on our world? One of my favorite passages of Scripture is John chapter 15. And those of you who have been attending here for a while, remember I did an entire series on it a few years ago. But we're going to review it very, very quickly this morning. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. "I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. For I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We're not going to unpack this thing entirely this morning. We did that in a previous series. You could order back at the tape window if you need to. But just very quickly, Jesus here gives us the principles of fruitful living. Fruitful living, of course, referring to the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Our potential for fruitful living is unlimited because of our source. Jesus starts by saying, I am the true vine. Jesus is our source, right? When we realize that, then we understand why Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can't do all things through ourselves, can we? Can we? No. But we can do all things through our source of power, through our strength, through Jesus Christ. A friend of mine was discussing the verse in Micah 6:8 with his little 7-year-old son. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There's what God requires of us. And his little 7-year-old son was memorizing this verse, and he looked up at his dad and he says, you know, it's hard to be humble if you're really walking with God. Think about that. Pretty good theology from a 7-year-old, isn't it? If you're really walking with God, you've got a lot of strength. You've got a lot of resources. You've got a lot going for you. When we begin to get a glimpse of the unlimited resources at our disposal, the power of God Himself, then and only then will we really sense the assurance that we are fully equipped to do whatever it is that God calls us to do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We might feel like the little mouse that Pastor Maxwell talks about, who was crossing a bridge over a deep ravine with an elephant. And as that elephant and little mouse walked across that bridge, the bridge shook. When they got to the other side, that little mouse says, boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? But when we are really walking with God, I think that's exactly how we can feel. With the weight of God walking with us, we can look up and say with that mouse, God, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? And God does use us in partnership with Him to do great things. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little. And they always fail. All giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and His presence to be with them. It's a good statement. A lot of meat for thought there. Like David who said, the battle is the Lord's. It's not our battle. It's not ours to fight. It's His. We need to understand that Jesus is our source and we can directly connect to Him. John 15, Jesus says that we have potential for fruitful living because of our strength. Not because of our strength, but because of the source of our strength, Him. He is the vine. Just as Jesus is the source, the Father is the gardener. The gardener takes care of the vine. He'd be a man of skill and knowledge, an expert at growing grapes, but in this passage of Scripture, he is also the owner. And when you think of an owner, you think of personal interest. You think of commitment, something more than knowledge and skill. You know, as you drive through a neighborhood, you can pick out which houses have the owner living in them versus a renter, can't you? Almost immediately. Why? Because the owner has pride in what he has. A renter doesn't really care. He may or may not water the yard. He may or may not pull the weeds. He may or may not take care of the house. The ownership takes pride. God is the owner as well as the gardener. As branches, we not only have our source from the vine, but we have God who oversees us and takes care of us and wants us to be productive. He wants us to produce the fruits of God's Spirit. You've probably noticed that the person who owns something, whatever it is, has a lot of pride in that possession. I can remember as a child, I'd visit my grandfather. He had a large machine shop. It was about four stories high. Looked kind of like a grain elevator, to be honest with you. It was made out of sheet metal, ugly as could be. But he had a lot of pride in that. I'd walk into that large machine shop, and I would walk through the shop with him, and he would point out special things he was working on. I thought it looked like a pile of old rusty junk. He saw it as valuable pieces of motors and parts for machines. He built an old lathe, actually, out of Model T parts. It took three stories to hold that thing. There was a gigantic, great big belt that went three stories high, and it ran all kinds of gears, and it was a meticulous lathe that he could do precision work on, that he built, all from scrap stuff. His ownership made the difference. God owns us. And when he looks at our lives, he looks at them not as an observer, but as an investor. He says, I'm going to put things into you that are going to give me a return. I'm going to make you special. You're unique. I have a plan for you. I know what I'm doing with you because I own you. You're mine. Our potential for fruitful living is great because Jesus is our source, and because God is our owner. The fact that God is our caretaker and owner adds to the potential that Jesus even has. One of the things God does as a gardener is to prune us. His pruning greatly increases our potential for fruitful living. Pruning is not always comfortable. It can be painful. Verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. God, the gardener, removes everything that hinders our usefulness. He knows that if he doesn't cut off the dead wood, all of our resources will go for producing more wood and we won't be fruitful. I found that productive people are continually being pruned, going through the process of God making them more fruitful. And God knows exactly what to prune from our lives to make us more productive. He cuts off the sin which so easily entangles us, according to Hebrews 12:1. Whatever it is that keeps us from becoming productive, fruitful Christians, God really wants to remove. Our potential for fruitfulness is also tremendous because of our partnership. In verse 4, Jesus talks about this. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. 11 times, count it. 11 times in verses 4 through 10, we find the word remain. Basically, he's saying, stay connected to the vine. Remain in me. If you get disconnected, you're worthless. Remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, he says it 11 times. I don't think of anything that's more repeated in a passage of Scripture than that right there. 11 times in 6 little verses, he says, remain in me. Stay connected to the vine, and everything will be fine. When Robert Morrison was on his way to China, where he would be a missionary, the captain of the ship was skeptical of his dream and gave him a hard time. As Morrison was leaving the ship, the captain said, "I suppose you think you're going to make an impression on China." Robert Morrison replied simply, "No, sir, I believe God will." You know, that's the reality. He was in partnership with God, and this partnership with God ought to give us some sense of confidence. Kind of like the little 7-year-old kid that was selling 25-cent pencils door-to-door. He was raising money to build a $30 million hospital. And one day, he knocked on a door, and a woman opened. He says, "Ma'am, would you like to buy one or two pencils? I'm helping to raise money to build a $30 million hospital for our community." And she says, "Sonny, that's a mighty big goal for one kid selling pencils for a quarter apiece." And he says, "Oh, no, ma'am, I'm not doing this by myself. See that guy over there? He's my partner." That little boy had great faith in a partner who was probably his equal or less. Should we not have this kind of faith and confidence in God, who is our unequal? He does have the resources. He does have the power. He does have the strength. He can make us fruitful. We have the potential for fruitfulness because of the promise given to us there in verse 7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you." Now there are two observations I should need to make right here. First of all, this promise is conditional. The first condition is if we remain in him, right? The second we get disconnected from him, is he going to give us everything? No, he doesn't dare. If we remain in him. And second, of course, is if we ask according to his will. What Jesus is really saying is if we abide in him, we will have so much delight in him that we will ask things according to his will. Reminds me of Psalm 37, verse 4. "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Why can God say that? If we really are taking delight in God, what are the desires of our heart going to be? They're going to be God's desires, right? If we're really taking delight in him, if we're really living connected with him, what we desire, he's the one that put the desire there. And yes, if he has put the desire there, he will give us what we need to meet that desire. That's the fascinating part about being a Christian. If I delight in the things of God, there's going to be power that you just can't believe. God's desires and my desires will be the same thing. And anything I ask for, he wants to give me because it's his desire. It's the desire he placed in my heart. But too often we try to make that principle work in reverse. So often we lack the desire because our delight is not great enough. God promises us that if we delight in him, we will desire things we need, and he will give us those things. Our potential for fruitfulness is great because of the purpose in our life that God also has put there. Reading on in chapter 15, verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear a little bit of fruit," right? "This is to my Father's glory," what? "That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." In other words, we are created to be fruitful. That's our purpose. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We've been chosen, we've been appointed by God for fruitful living. Those active, positive attitudes of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, that's the fruit that God wants us to be exhibiting to the world we live in. We're going to be looking at those in detail over the next few weeks. The fruit. And by the way, while I'm here, it's not fruits, it's fruit. It's singular, which means we don't pick and choose which one of those things we're going to have in our life. If we have it at all, it will be all. We will be loving, kind, gentle, patient people. The problem is so often with us Christians is that we do not show these positive attitudes that can make us the salt and the light of the earth because we go at it the wrong way. The story is told. I don't know whether it's true or not. I didn't have time to check it out on the web this week, but it's a great story, so I'm going to share it with you. The story is told that when Berlin was divided years ago after the World War, the East and West Berlin, that East Berlin dumped a whole truckload of garbage on the west side of the wall. And the people from West Berlin thought they'd pick up the garbage and put it in the truck and dump it back on the east side. Typical way we usually behave, isn't it? But then they decided it wasn't the way to handle it. Instead, they filled a dump truck with canned goods and other non-perishable food items, went over to the other side and unloaded it into a neat pile and put a sign beside it that said, "Each gives what each has to give." Hey, they were preaching, weren't they? You can only give fruit to others when you have the fruit to give. And friends, you can only have the fruit when you're connected to the vine. When Jesus is pouring his power through you. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit if you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you in the first place. Our potential for fruitfulness is tremendous because of our connection to God. Jesus says there in verses 7 and 8 that if we abide in him and if we keep his commands, we will be fruitful. I think it is impossible not to keep his commandments if you're really abiding in him. I think the key word is that little if. I once saw a little bumper sticker that said, "If it's to be, it's up to me." Well, I don't know if I agree with that 100%, but it fits here right now. Jesus is saying, yeah, it's up to you. You make the choice. If you abide in me, if you make the choice to abide in me, you're going to have great power. You're going to have great fruit. But if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers and burnt up as worthless. He doesn't say, if I do not abide in you. His question for us is, will you abide in me? He's there. He's always ready. He has the power. He has the strength. He has the wisdom to implant into us. He has the resources, all that we need. He's ready to deliver. All we need to do is to remain plugged into him. Remain connected to the vine. Why don't we always abide in him? It comes down to the simple little word of pure obedience. We begin to think that we can do it on our own. We begin to have an unhealthy self-confidence instead of a God confidence. When we do not have active, positive attitudes, it's because we're not connected to the vine. And it happens all the time. Christians should not have to work at trying to have these positive attitudes. The world does, yes, but we shouldn't have to work at it. That's not where the battle is. Jesus says, if we are connected with Him, we will have fruit. And He tells us what that fruit is. We'll be loving, kind, gentle, patient, courteous to each other. Not by working on trying to be loving, kind, patient, courteous and all, but because we are connected to the vine, Christ Jesus. Jesus is saying that when the relationship is right, we will live fruit-filled lives. It's that simple. That's when we really begin to become productive. That's also when we really become happy in our walk with God. That is when we will experience the love, the joy, the peace, the forbearance, the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is only possible when the Holy Spirit is producing it. Let's let it happen. Let's spend this week abiding in Christ, living so close to Him that His desires become our desires. Let's live the Spirit-filled life. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that You are the source of it all. We're not here to fight the battle. We're here to remain connected to the source. May we spend this week connected to You. May You live Your life through us so that when the world sees us, they see You. Father, without You, we can do nothing. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we think we are, we can do nothing if we're not connected to Christ Jesus. Remind us of that each morning as we wake up. May we make the choice to be connected. Connected to the vine. Connected to the source of all power and strength and fruit. We give You the glory. In Christ's name we pray.